Creates Arts Podcast. Interview. Energy Portraits and Abstract Art with Gray Coots. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kimo Bryant, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I use my over 30 years of experience in the arts and education world to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. So I use a certain program called PodMatch. And what that does is that helps podcast hosts find guests and for guests to find hosts. And that's what happened here with today's interview. Gray Coots is going to be talking with us here in a little bit about abstract painting and about his energy portraits that he does. Now, when I read his message to me and I checked him out, I was like, oh my God, this is the guy I need to have on the show because I'm a huge fan of abstract art. And I don't have the experience to talk intelligently about it. But talking with Gray, I learned a ton just by being in his presence and learning from him and actually seeing a piece of art on the wall right behind him. So this is an audio-only podcast, as you know. But if you could have seen that piece like I was seeing it the whole time, it wasn't distracting. It was very energetic. So definitely kudos to him for having the foresight to have that painting up there. So let's talk a little bit about who Gray is and where he's from. Now, Gray, he's a Los Angeles-based artist who explores spirituality through his work. Now, initially, he stumbled into art as a means of self-discovery through experimentation and curiosity. And in 2013, he earned a degree in graphic design from the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth, and he was unaware of the artistic potential that lay ahead. Now, his interest in abstract painting sparked a fascination with the inexplicable images he saw, which pulled him towards creative expression. Now, Gray is renowned for his use of vivid colors in abstract paintings. He's also a creative director in the music industry, employing acrylic spray paint and collage materials to create his signature style of the drip, which harnesses the force of gravity. Now, in his artwork, Coots taps into the flow of the creative energy to produce unique, emotionally expressive pieces. He infuses his creations with energy and emotion, representing the inner workings of the soul and the journey of individuals through time and space. His use of color and intense marking reflects the energy surrounding him and others daily. Now, recently, Gray has integrated his spiritual studies with his client work, creating energy portraits that capture the essence of the client by tuning into their energy. Gray currently is in Hollywood, California, and he continues to experience life and create art out there. Now, why is he on this show? Well, like I said, he reached out to me, and I don't want to say I'm a sucker for abstract art, but I, reviewed his website, which all the links will be in the show notes, reviewed his work. And immediately I was like, this is, this guy has got to be on here because he can talk intelligently and emotionally. So he can do the academic stuff and he can do the emotional stuff of why abstract art really speaks to him. And you're going to hear a lot of that in this interview. So I can't wait to get it started for you. And what the heck? Why wait? Let's get this interview started right now. Gray, how is it out there in good old Los Angeles?
Right now it's pretty sunny. The last few days I've gotten to wear some jeans, which is exciting for me because I prefer dressing for fall than summer,
I definitely hear you on that. I'm a shorts and t-shirt kind of guy, and now I'm looking at it out here in Virginia going, ooh, fall is coming. So yeah, it's my favorite. Well, today we're going to talk to you about your practice that you have out there in Los Angeles and, being an abstract artist. And we're also going to jump into the energy portraits. But I wanted to start off with being an abstract artist. And can you tell us, how did you first discover the power of abstract art as a means to, you know, heal and nurture the human soul?
You know, sort of like yourself, I was gravitated towards just like staring at these abstract paintings that I would see in the hallways of my college, in the art building. And I would just be like, wow, I really want to do that. But like, there's me also being like, well, there's that part of your brain that says, no, you can't do that. But at that time in my life, I was like, sort of like breaking all of those like internal stigmas, you know? So I just started to experiment with paint, through graphic design, and then slowly made my way onto canvases. And in relation to finding healing with it, it really gave me an outlet to express myself. Sometimes words are more difficult to speak, and sometimes you're not supposed to speak the words that you're feeling to other people, you know? So painting just really became that healthy outlet. I was always like thinking about a lot of things when I was painting, then I kind of like wake up from that. And then on the canvas beneath me was this crazy, colorful abstract painting.
I know with my school at Virginia Commonwealth in Richmond, Virginia, we had a building named after Pollock, but not after Jackson Pollock. And I'd been interested in abstract art before then, but when the movie with Jackson Pollock came out, I was like, wow, okay, these drip paintings. And then I got into Rothko and I was like, oh, swatches of color. And really, I know for myself, I could really connect with that. What is it about abstract painting that, you know, makes you connect with it? Because we're not dealing with necessarily recognizable figures. You know, we're painting a dog, but it doesn't look like a dog, but it's the feeling of a dog. So how was that for you? How did you get involved with that?
Yeah, part of it, I think, was just, again, that freedom of it, you know? Mm-hmm. When emotions can't really be constrained, you know, like, I guess in a healthy way they can be, but when you're really trying to express yourself, like, you need to really like release. And for me personally, drawing inside the lines, that's just not something that I was doing, you know. With abstract, you can really just move your hands in relation with your emotion, you know, and then as you're doing this, as you're reacting internally and letting the emotion flow through you, then all these different markings come out on the canvas. And then you are met with this crazy non-figurative like expression that you solely create. I love all forms of art. Again, abstract is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I have appreciation for what you're saying, people who can draw dogs. Sure. I mean, I can draw a dog too, but it's just like, I choose to really express myself through this outlet because I personally feel like it has like the most meaning. And it gives a lot of opportunity for interpretation from the viewers, but also a lot of ability for the artist itself to communicate emotion through color and through texture and strokes and all of those things that make up art.
Let's stick on the topic of interpretation, because with abstract art, it seems like it can be open to interpretation. You know, you can throw some paint on a canvas, but you can throw some paint on.
That's what my grandmother says too. She's like, you know, what are you doing? That painting looks like you just threw some paint at the wall. And I was like, oh, thanks. Well, that's her interpretation, you know, like.
how is that for you though? Like when you do a piece and you have a specific vision of what you're trying to do, and then the audience goes, well, that just looks like a 4-year-old on crack did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes I see children's art and I'm like, wow, that is amazing. It could just be a few lines. And I'd be like, that has resonance. You know, I feel like part of being an artist is being able to channel that inner child and not be constrained by all these adult things that are pushed on us. And that's what I had to relearn myself. A lot of those things were pushed onto me at a young age, and they were very limiting for my brain. Mm-hmm. And I started to be able to push those away and like block out all the noise and the naysayers and really just practice. And that's how I got to where I am today.
And I'm looking, I mean, I know people can't see this because it's an audio podcast, but, you know, just looking at the painting that's behind you there, that is, you know, that can be open to a lot of different interpretations, but that's one of the things that I actually enjoy about it. When I was, you know, doing a little bit of research on you, I saw a lot of your paintings that I was looking at and going, man, just the way that things move and everything in your paintings is just, it's not just throwing paint on canvas. You can tell that there was an intention with it, whatever that intention is. And that's one of the things that, you know, when we had talked and you agreed to be on the show, I was like, you have a lot of intention in what you're doing. You're not just throwing it up into the universe and going, hey, wherever it lands, it's good. It's got a purpose to it. And I really enjoy looking at it.
There is purpose. And then there's the natural flow of progression too. It's like one mark leads to the next and you build on top of that. And there's like layers and layers that are built up on these things. Some people look at them and they're like, they think that I painted every little nook and cranny with a paintbrush, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just like this natural progression, and gravity plays a big effect with like the drips, and it all melts together to the final concept.
I know for me, art has been a way to heal, and a way to really get in tune with myself. Is your art healing you? And secondly, is it healing other people that are experiencing your art?
Yeah, my art is healing to me. I usually find myself being the most active painting when I'm going through something, you know. Unfortunately, because like we don't always want issues in our life, you know, like, but that's when I sort of make the most beautiful art, I think, is when I'm like upset about something or I'm hurt. But me being able to put that emotion onto the canvas and then stick back and like look at it, you get to see that all of your emotions, even if they're like a little negative at the time, they are beautiful because they're shaping you to become a better version of yourself. So I can take a step back and look at that canvas and be like, wow, I was not in a good place during that, but this is probably the most beautiful painting that I've ever made. So there's like that give and take with the paint, you know. It's like it allows me to express myself instead of like venting to somebody else. But then it's also, I get to look at it and be like, you know, you've come a long way. So that's like really the healing aspect of it, internally. Externally, I'd like to think that my personal art, heals other people. You know, I've got comments where they look at it and be like, wow, that can really feel like the intention, the energy off of this. Like it's just like radiating. But I guess that's up to the individual, you know. I do healing with painting for other people. That's like a little bit of a different technique, mm-hmm. but that is an avenue that I also do.
And it's a perfect segue right into your energy portraits that you've been doing. I've been on your website. We will have links to your website on that. And you actually have videos on there of people that have gone through the energy portraits there. And I was amazed because, you know, just talking with you, you're an amazing person. But when I heard other people talking about what you do and their experience with that, I was just like, wow, this is a real healing piece of art that somebody has, and how open they were in that interview session that you had with them. Can you talk a little bit about energy portraits and you know, where did that come from? How did that start for you?
Yeah, well, thank you for all those compliments. I appreciate it. And the energy portrait was really born when I discovered what I was actually doing for myself. So like I just mentioned, I got to step back and look at this painting that I expressed all my emotions with. And then it really was, it was like a healing moment for me. Mm-hmm. So when I had that realization, I was actually making a, a birthday present for one of my friends, and lives in DC. I'm over in LA. I was like, he was actually going through a rough time, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make you a painting. How about that? And we were on FaceTime, and I had this big canvas, just blank canvas on my wall, and I was like, yeah, this is going to be the canvas. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's see. So I hang up the phone, and then all of a sudden, I got hit with some type of inspiration or energy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about my friend that when that came in. So I just start going at the canvas. I have all my colors. They're just making it all up. And then I took a step back and I was like, I think I'm done. and so I FaceTime. I was like, hey, man, I just finished your painting. He's like, bullshit. Like, you're not. And then I turned it around. He's like, holy shit. Like, did you literally just, are you lying to me right now? I was like, no, that's just how it happened. And that was like the first time that I did that for somebody else. And I realized like what had happened. I was able to like channel their energy or like really get into that space where I could create for them. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole other aspect of being able to like read the painting after I'm done. More specifically for him, I was like, yeah, this is like the more like soft outside. And then you have this little, twisted, a little bit of, I can talk to him like this because he's one of my good friends, but, sure. There's like a little bit of darkness on the inside there. But from that experience, I was then able to build from that and really create this energy portrait, which is a physical representation of the client or the human in abstract painting form. Mm-hmm. And they can take that home and they can hang it on their wall.
I was looking at one of them that, yeah, you had. I don't know if it was in the picture. There's a couple there. And I don't know if, you know, if the painting was for both folks, but just some of the bends in there that I saw matched I don't want to say perfectly. They matched emotionally what I saw with the woman in the picture and how she was standing and just how she was. And then I could kind of see that. And I don't know if I got the emotion right of what, you know, she was going through or anything like that, but I was like, oh yeah, I can, you know, I can see how he's doing that now. And that's fantastic. From that first painting that you did, today, how has your technique changed for that? What tools are you using, have those come off, to be, I would say, successful as they are?
Yeah. So now the whole, I call it an energy portrait experience. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just a painting, you know, it's like, I love for the people to be able to come to LA or I could travel to them, whatever works out. And I get to spend time with them before we have a little chat. We get to talk about, okay, where are you in your life? Like, where do you want to go? What's holding you back? So it's almost like I hate to call it therapy, but it's just like, I like to think of me as like a supportive friend, you know, that can help you, get to the next level. So as we're having that conversation, we're just bonding, you know, I like to take them to the art store. We can pick out the colors and then I take them back to the studio and then we begin. Well, you know, we place our intentions, their intentions on the canvas. I'll invite them to take a marker, write on the blank white canvas, whatever they want to manifest, any positive emotions or quotes or anything that they want on there. And then I'll take the marker myself and I'll go write a few things that I think is needed. Mm-hmm. And then like their job is done. Now their job is to just sit there and watch. So and that's where like the fun part comes because I don't know what's going to happen during that. I'm just like, I'm channeling and I'm vibing with whatever energy is coming off of them. But I'm also like, using the color and I'm creating this abstract, their energy portrait. And it usually takes between 20 to 40 minutes. So during the session, they get to watch it happen, which makes it even more special. And then at the end, you have this beautiful abstract that represents them vibrating at their highest frequency.
That is a wonderful gift that anybody, and everybody should have in their house because it's a piece of them. And, you know, when you were saying that you actually have them right on the canvas and put a bit of, their energy into it. That's fantastic. I on occasion I'll do tarot cards, and I always make sure that they're cutting the cards. They're putting their energy into it, and that way I can draw from that energy. So it sounds similar to what you're doing.
Yes.
Is it easier to do it for somebody you know well, or is it easier for somebody you don't know at all? Like, say, if I were to have my wife, you know, fly out to LA and hang out with you, you know, a couple of days, would it be easy to do her, or maybe a good personal friend of yours?
I honestly think it's a little less, it's a little easier to do somebody that I don't know truly, you know, because if I'm doing somebody that I know, there's a chance that I might get caught up with things that I know that they need to be working on, or I already know them, you know. Just like when, I'm sure when you read tarot cards, it's sort of like, oh, well, yeah, I can read my wife's cards, but I don't need to, you know. like, you might be able to more easily give a stranger better advice than somebody that you know. One, because you know you can't truly offend them, you know, and then offend may be the wrong word, but I think you kind of get what I'm getting at there.
I know for me, when I was doing it for folks, it was so much easier to do somebody I don't know, just because I am not having any preconceived notions of what they're asking or what they're wanting.
Yes, you just said it beautifully.
I learned from you. I learned from you. I want to dive into a bit of a controversial subject when we're dealing with, you know, not just energy paintings, but with art in general, because I know a lot of my listeners, they're like, you know, how much do I charge for this? What's a reasonable amount? And how do you approach when you're charging somebody for, you know, it can either be for a energy portrait or maybe a commissioned piece of work, or even because you do you know, stuff for videos, for music videos. How do you know what to charge?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, like, painting is not a cheap hobby, I'll tell you that. I've poured thousands of dollars into just the practice itself. So when people, sometimes people approach me and I throw out a number and they're like, oh, I can't do that. And I'm like, okay, well, I do offer smaller pieces, you know, there's 1 foot by 1 foot, there's 2 foot by 2 foot, and the list goes on up and down, you know. But the canvas is a very expensive, especially if you want a good one. They can range from like, well, they could range from $60 to $500, you know. Then you have your paints in all the different colors that need to be made, especially in my paintings, because they're extremely colorful. And then there is like the labor of actually doing the painting. All of those things come into account when pricing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. It's not a cheap, hobby or side hustle or anything, or even, you know, profession to get into. I can tell you, you know, with podcasting, there's always a new microphone. There's always some new fun, shiny thing or a new program that, you know, doesn't work. What your audience needs to realize, and what folks need to realize, is that you're also paying for the expertise, because this didn't just come to you like that. Can you talk a little bit about your training that got you to where you're at today?
Yeah, there's a cool little story I've heard. It's told a few different ways. And it's like, Picasso was in like a park one day, and a woman approached him and asked for her portrait. So he pulled out a napkin and he just drew it on there, and, you know, what, 2 minutes? And then he asked her for, like, let's just say $500, you know? And she's like, $500? You just did that in 2 minutes. He's like, no, it took me my whole life to be able to do this. So, like, that's where it all starts, you know? You really have to hone in on your craft to become this sort of, like, expertise in that area. And that's where, like, I think it gets lost in translation with some people when they look at a sticker and say, oh, well, that's $3,000. Like, where do you get off doing that? I was like, well, you know, it's like 12 years of hard work and practice. Education plays like a big part in it. Like, people always say that, oh, you don't need to go to art school. you know, but I look at my portfolio when I got into school and I was just like, it showed like no personality at all. It was just some kid who was just trying to draw a piano or some random object, you know. For me, that education that I got, I started as a graphic designer. I still am. But throughout learning design, learning that I was a graphic designer, because I kind of was just like, you know, I'll just go to school for graphic design. I can use Adobe Illustrator. No idea what graphic design is, honestly. I just kind of like winged it. I was like, oh, I'll just do it, you know. And I ended up being really good at it. But that's one, because I was dedicated to the craft and I practiced. And throughout that, painting sort of snuck in. And that's where the techniques and the design and the abstract, they all really blended together. And from learning design, I feel like I was able to take that into my abstract paintings also and really like see where something was off balanced or see if there's too much tension in one area. That way I can fix it with the colors. And then it's just like it reads as a design, but it's completely pure abstract color.
How do you navigate when you're following your abstract ideals, when you're following your abstract feelings, and maintaining accessibility for folks that may not be necessarily into abstract art? How do you push the boundary, and how do you know when not to push the boundary?
So you're saying like if somebody doesn't appreciate abstract art?
Yeah, like for a new person just coming on into it, how do you? Yeah, is there things that you do that people can who are more into figurative art or stuff like that, they can climb onto with your abstract art?
You know, because I do have some friends who I know they are more into like figures, you know. So I will show them something and they'll be like, oh, cool, you know. Or like, and I was like, you wish I painted a bicycle, don't you? But anybody who comes to me and like doesn't understand it, or if I hear like a comment at a gallery or something, you know, it's like these are all like valid things that people are saying, like valid in their mind sometimes. If they say, oh, well, anybody can do that. I was like, well, yes, anybody can attempt to do something, but I don't think anybody can fully recreate the anything that I've ever done that is abstract, because there's so many layers and drips. So I try to explain to people that, yeah, it may look like somebody or I have smushed colors or thrown paint, but again, sort of like what we were talking about in the beginning of our conversation, there is just so much more to it. Like colors represent emotion, the way that the paint is on the painting, the texture of it, all these things are symbolic of something, I would hope, in all everybody's abstract painting, because I know for a fact they are mine, because that's what I do. But I just challenged them, you know. I was like, just look at it. What does that make you feel? I love asking people that question. People like to hear what it means, what the painting actually means for me, and sometimes I hesitate to do that because I don't want to ruin their own experience of it. So I guess certain pieces I'll give them a little clue, but other ones I'll just leave it up to their imagination.
That's excellent. I remember my first showing many, many moons ago, and I'm the one that paints like a 4-year-old on crack.
That's good. Keep it up. No.
Well, I've got a couple of twin girls that they do a lot of painting too, so I try to keep up with them. But you know, I'm just a 4-year-old, they're 9 years.
Use them as your inspiration, honestly. They'll keep you in that child state mindset that you need to be in to like really like express yourself freely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm feeling like I should hop on my couch here. I'm getting therapy here. But I what you were saying though is that, you will give them a clue or all that, but when I did my first show and people were asking me, hey, well, so what does that represent? What is that? And one thing I would always ask them was, well, what do you see in it? And I would really enjoy, what they would come back with. And sometimes I'm like, wow, I didn't even see that in there. That's fantastic. Sometimes we get, as artists, a little too close to our paintings. I don't know if that's true for you or not, but I know for me, sometimes we get a little too close, a little too precious with it. And then the audience comes in and goes, yeah, no, that's a dog sitting on a unicorn. Yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah, that's like people always like to say, oh, it looks like there's a, they like to like see things within the paintings, whether that like, oh, there's a dragon, or oh, there's a, I see a face right there. Did you mean to do that? And I'm like, well, not exactly, but if that's what you're seeing, then hey, own it, you know?
Exactly. Well, I'll say yes if there's $1,000 in your pocket and you can have it yourself.
That's what it's about, a dragon, yes.
You got me. Well, speaking about dragons and things like that, are there any like recurring themes or symbols in your work? We had mentioned Picasso earlier, and I remember he went through his blue period, his whole you know, cubism kind of thing. But in your work, are there certain themes that you keep on drawing from that well time and time again?
I feel like when I first started painting, the paintings were more dark. And they resembled like space more. And I sort of shifted that. There was a breakthrough that I had, and it came with a breakup of a relationship that I was in. And I'm grateful for that, because now I've like unleashed this whole new avenue of painting. But in terms of like revisiting different techniques, I guess I try to experiment with new ones, because what always ends up happening is there's drips on the painting, and I can't escape that. And I don't think that I should try to escape it, honestly, because people have come to like know my work and my style, which is, I'm grateful for that, because it takes some artists never even are able to discover their own unique style, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's something that I'm proud to say that I have discovered. So like using those drips in all my paintings, I've just started to sort of do more soft toned ones there. You didn't see them on my website, but on my Instagram, there's some of these like more gradient like styled paintings. Mm-hmm. And yet there's still like that little rough aspect of like a drip or the texture on there. So yeah, I don't know if there's any reoccurring themes besides the drips and just the color in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that you just said that you're trying new things all the time. I think that's vital for any artist, you know, because that's just growth. And from, you know, our conversation here, you know, you're talking about when you first started out, it was kind of dark. And now I'm just looking at the one that's behind you, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of color. That's a lot of energy. And, you know, just, you know, from looking at it through a video, through my computer screen here, I can grab a lot of that energy from it and go, it makes my day. I'm like, okay, I can go ahead and take care of my twins. I can go ahead and, you know, take care of my wife and do other things that I need to do. So it's, your work is very energizing. Is the word I would put towards it. So thank you for your energy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the appreciation. And that kind of like what you're saying, by looking at this one that is just, I guess a random abstract, you know, like let's just say you had an energy portrait, and that was, you'd be able to look at that every day and times that by 10, whatever you're feeling by just staring at this one behind my head, you know, mm-hmm. It's just like that magnitude of knowing that it's you on that canvas. It's your energy. You know the intentions behind that. You don't have to share those with anybody else. This is like, it's just your little piece. So it's just like, it's cool to hear reactions like you had just said, and then also be able to work with people who have that feeling and then maximize it, creating a piece specifically for them.
When folks are going through your studio, or when they're viewing your stuff and they approach you, a little bit of a weird question, but how do you like being approached? Because I know we have a thing called First Friday here in Fredericksburg, where all the galleries open up and everyone goes and checks out the galleries, and usually the artists are there standing on standby to sell and to talk about their art. But how do you like being approached by the audience that's coming in and looking at your work?
Just from them saying hello. I'd like to think I'm approachable, you know, but there's always people have their own minds. So you never know what anybody's thinking. But in general, I just love if somebody has questions, I'm more than happy to talk to them about anything and everything that pertains to, well, their question and whatever it leads to. If I enjoy showing my art, and I enjoy seeing people's reactions to it, positive or negative, because it's just, I'm just a body watching what's going on, you know, in the simulation here. So it's like, if somebody, one of their comments may be leaning towards the negative, but then I'm like, interesting. Well, let me tell you about it. You know, maybe I could change your mind, or maybe you're right. We'll find out through our dialogue. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. The great thing is that there's a reaction to it. It's not just crickets. You know, you're not just
yes out there.
So I always encourage folks that are attending gallery shows and stuff like that, go talk to the artist. You don't normally bite people, do you? Well, I mean, depending.
No, I mean. I guess depending the context, you know, that's for a different podcast.
I wouldn't talk about 94.3.7, so you know.
Yeah. But as art, we want people to ask us about our art. That's why, if you see an artist standing next to their painting when there's 30 people in the room, they could be at the drink table or they could be hiding in the bathroom. But no, they're proudly standing next to their painting, They appreciate you going up to them and asking them about it. Even if you think your question is dumb or you just don't have anything to say, it's like, wow, this is really cool. They'll take that. They will internalize that and they'd be extremely grateful for it. So I encourage everybody to just go up and say, what's up? I love your art. If you don't love it, just be like, this is really cool. Or just don't say anything. Go find somebody else that you actually appreciate it with, you know, and then you can just have that conversation.
Perfect. Perfect. So folks, whenever you're out in Los Angeles, go look up Gray, go look up his stuff and shake his hand and say, hey, I heard about you on Create Art Podcast. And you're not biting me this time. So that's perfect. Well, Gray, speaking about you and your work here, what is the next big thing that's coming down the pike for you? We're recording this in September of 2023, but what's the next big thing that's coming your way that you're getting ready to push out, if you can discuss that with us?
Yeah, so I'm currently working on a little series of affordable paintings for people, as we were just speaking about, because I do want people to be able to experience my art and take some home with them if they truly desire and they don't have a big bank account. So I'm working on that series. It's going to be all being done on paper. Some of them I'd posted on my Instagram. Some of them I haven't released yet. So that's one thing that I'm working on right now. I'm going to be pushing out that series. But the second thing I'm doing, and I've been working on probably for a year, is a series of large scale abstracts. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at all the rolls. They're all rolled up over there. I'm just waiting for the perfect moment to release them. But the other day, I just realized I have a more of a story to tell. And I need to go buy some more big canvas. So I'm really excited to have all of those big ones come out. One, because I enjoy the magnitude of big abstract art, and I know a lot of other people do appreciate that too. Mm-hmm. And two, it's just, there's definitely going to be a story, in the way that they're arranged, hopefully in a gallery. There's just so much emotion and growth that is held inside of these, and that will be held inside of the ones that I'm going to create. That I think it's probably, I'm just really excited. I think it might be my best body of work so far. So I'm going to order some more canvas probably after this call and get to work on that. But yeah, I'm just excited to release those two series. The paper one's already starting to drip out. So sure, you can catch that on my Instagram, and I'm going to set up a thing online on my website where people can just purchase it off of there to make it easy.
Perfect. Well, definitely, yeah. let me know when you do, because I'm probably going to be third or fourth in line. Maybe second. I'll try to be second.
Okay. Why not first? Come on.
I've got twins. I got to go to college.
I'm just joking.
All right.
You'll get a discount.
You guys heard it here first. I'm going to be first in line. I'm going to make that happen for us. You were talking about doing these large scale abstracts. I know for me, when I first started off with painting, mine was like, my biggest thing was like an 8x10, because I was so afraid I'm not going to be able to fill a canvas with
inches.
Inches. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Not centimeters, because that's way too small.
Could have been feet. And I was like, that's pretty big. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty big. That's pretty big. But no, I was an 8x10 kind of guy myself, because I looked at bigger pieces and I said, I can't fill that canvas. How do you attack that? How do you get over that fear of, am I going to have enough inspiration material in my head to fill this canvas, to make it worth my while?
Yeah, well, I guess it kind of calls come down to what type of art you're making. With abstract, colors can cover a lot of space, you know. I found that recently I got some comments, actually. One was from my manager. He's like, I really like it. It was done on a 1 foot by 1 foot canvas, so it was like very small. And he's like, do you see how like the colors are taking up like more space on these than your usual ones, right? And I was like, you know, there is like this bigger block of yellow, and there's like there's still all those like the colors intertwining, but it's more spacious. So I really took that comment in and I created, and I was like, wow, like, don't be afraid to just bleed a color and extend it, because I guess it has more depth to some people. So like, again, part of the thing about painting and getting a blank canvas is you just got to get over the fear of, what am I going to do? So my advice to people, when you're staring at a blank canvas, however big or small it is, just do something. Mm-hmm. You can just draw a squiggly line or smear some purple, you know? So you get that first thing there and then you react to it. This is how I would teach somebody that, paint abstractly. It's like, put one mark down. Okay, what are you seeing now? Okay, we're going to put another one down. And you just constantly build on top of that. And soon all your white space will be gone, unless you want there to be some white space. But you can always add some white paint in there at the end when it's all dry too.
Nice, nice. See, my problem is I leave too many blank spaces in there, and I'm like, oh, well, it's a negative space. I don't know.
Hey, there's negative space in the right context is very, very nice. So yeah, it's just like it's all about how it all balances out, you know?
I do it because I'm lazy and I'm afraid. So that's my excuse.
Well, we're going to break your fear on your next painting. You're just going to remember what it was Gray saying during that. What are my 4-year-olds doing? You know, I'm going to tap into those techniques, and I'm just going to cover this space up.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, great. Thank you. I definitely want to thank you so much for joining us here at Create Art Podcast today. Is there one idea that you would like to leave my audience here with about abstract painting or energy portraits or anything at all about, you know, starting a career with painting, and anything at all you'd like to leave them with?
Yeah. So the title of the podcast is Create Art Podcast. And that's just, honestly, that's what you have to do. You can't expect to, one out of a million, somebody can make one painting and all of a sudden they're just selling for thousands and thousands of dollars. Like that's great that had happened to them. Mm-hmm. But there is more character in the practice of it. So anybody who's trying to start a career in art and who has those types of aspirations, you just gotta keep creating, you know? You're gonna hate what you make sometimes, you're gonna love what you make sometimes, but each time that you create, you're learning and you're expressing yourself. And those paintings that you hate, somebody else might love, so don't throw them away. Keep them in the vault for when you're famous. So yeah, just like, break all the limitations in your mind, as hard as that may be. Don't listen to it. I always say everybody can draw, because if you can pick up a pencil or a color pencil or a marker or whatever and move it on the canvas, I consider that drawing. You're not drawing the Mona Lisa, or maybe you will, but again, stick figure is a drawing to me, and maybe that stick figure, it turns into your unique style somehow, and then you start selling paintings based off of like these stick figures. So there's so many different avenues, so don't limit yourself, and you just gotta believe and trust the process.
Awesome. Again, thank you, Gray, so very much for joining us here, and we're going to be looking for your stuff coming out on Instagram. I'm going to be first in line, so you heard it here first.
you will be. I'll save. I'm going to put a little like a red. What are those things called in the movie theaters?
I know what you're talking about. The little marquee lights or something like that.
Yeah, I'll have a reserved space just for you. How about that?
Done and done. Perfect. Perfect. Again, thank you so much, Gray. And thank you all so much for listening to our episode here. And we will talk to you next time.
Thank you.
All right. So that was my interview with the one, the only Mr. Gray Kootz. As you can tell, we had a lot of fun in this interview. A lot of laughs were shared, and a lot of information was passed between the two of us. And I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and check out his website. It's all in the show notes there. And check out his Instagram, check out his socials, and really take a look at what he's doing out there. Take a look at those energy portraits. That is something that is... it's quite something to look at. I don't want to spoil it for you, but just take a look at those energy portraits and tell me you can't see what's going on with those people. It's really awesome. So as Gray had told us, he's going to be coming out with some new stuff real quick. So get onto his Instagram, get following him. I know I just recently did, because I can't wait to see what he's going to come out with for these new paintings that he has going out that are going to be more moderately priced for folks. So it's that time in the show where I go ahead and give you back the rest of your day. I want to thank you for joining us here for this special interview with Gray. And I just want to remind you that it's time for you to tame that inner critic, create more than you consume, and to go out there and make some art for somebody you love. And while you're making some art for somebody you love, make it some abstract art. I mean, Gray said it best. He's like, hey, listen, the title of the podcast is Create Art Podcast, right? So go out there and create that abstract masterpiece on a huge canvas. If you do it, I'll do it too, okay? I'll go grab a huge canvas, and we'll go ahead and do that together. Go out there and create some art for somebody you love, yourself. We'll talk to you next time.